Thank you, guys and lady. Hopefully you brought your Bible this morning. Of course, we're going to be in Ephesians. At least we'll start in Ephesians. We'll head over to Romans and to Isaiah. So if you have them, get them primed up. Hey, James, did you talk about the book, Bargain Book Center, a while ago? Just a quick word on that. You may have seen our bookshelf out there in the front, and so we're going to try to start having not just, I mean, there. I've been a part of places that when you do like a book place, you know, everybody just brings the books they don't like anymore, and they just shove them into a room, and, you know, you're supposed to come check them out. But this is, you know, we're actually buying books. James is kind of heading this up and just getting some very good books. Right now we have the Jesus Storybook, and if you're a young family in here or a family that you have children at your house, I would encourage you to get that. Just an excellent resource for helping your kids go through God's Word. Takes every story that's in there always points back to Jesus and shows where the gospel is in these stories, the Old Testament, the New Testament. And plus they're cheap. And I think it's like $16.99 if you're to go buy that book in the store. It's $7 out there, people. I mean, come on. There's no place better to buy. And we'll price match too. So you find a better price, we'll match that price. And James will cover the difference. Yeah, that's right. That is good entrepreneurship, but don't buy it here and go sell it on eBay or put it on Facebook. And then also two books that are on the way. Actually, I think they're technically here in our neighbor's place. That anyway, blah, blah, blah. Momentary Marriage by John Piper, is that correct? And Multiply, which the Multiply Conference is coming out in a couple weeks. And so those two books, those are the only ones that are on order, James. And Don't Waste Your Life by John Piper. And so all those are great books. And so just encourage you to be looking for resources out there. And don't be like Brandon Parker and go buy them this weekend only to find out you could have got them cheaper here at church. So, all right, that's my announcement about the Bargain Book Corner. All right, so back to Ephesians. Where are we going this morning? We are in the armor of God, as we've been for several weeks now. And going through, looking at the armor. And of course, you know, I always set my goals so low, I figured we'd be done with this by now. But we are just slowly going through these pieces of armor because I think there's just so much good stuff there that God has in His Word that we need to fully understand. As we looked last week at the breastplate of righteousness and realizing there are different types of righteousness and that there is our righteousness that we try to, you know, do good works and realize that this will always come up short and will always fail and we're not good enough, but Christ is good enough and He was the ultimate gift and lived that perfect life. And it's only through His righteousness that we are saved. But we also have a part in that. You know, that our works with our faith is what makes a devoted, committed follower of Christ. We've looked at the belt of truth and talked about that a couple weeks ago. Well, this morning, we turn our attention to verse 15. Again, I'm just going to, I think, read a bulk of this each week. But in verse 10 there, it says, "Finally be strong in the Lord in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore." Have you heard the word stand enough times yet? "Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness." In verse 15, "And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace." Oh Lord, would you help us this morning, not just to read your word, Father, not just to hear a sermon, Lord, Father, but may we engage in the word that you have given us, Father. May we be attentive to your Spirit this morning. Would you speak to each one of us, Lord, this morning and just reveal truth to us that only comes from you. And we thank you for this armor that you have given us, Lord. And we just pray this morning that we will put on the shoes of the gospel. In Jesus' precious and strong name I pray. Amen. So this morning, as kind of pointed out to the kids a while ago, we're turning our attention to the shoes. Now, if you actually come up and examine these shoes, I doubt they are completely like Roman soldier shoes because they have some good cushion in there. And I doubt they had Dr. to Dr. Scholl, is that his name? Dr. Scholl's soles in their shoes in the first century, but they're pretty close. Actually, the word for the shoes that Paul uses in this passage is, I believe you pronounce it caliga, C-A-L-I-G-A, not that it matters a whole lot, but it is a half boot, unlike these. It's a shoe, and it kind of comes up about right here, right past your ankle. But one thing that this is accurate is just full of laces. It's just a boot that just had lots of laces in there, and they'd strap them on. And they had two main purposes to these boots, to these I can't say it, why even try? They had two main purposes to these sandals that they wore. The first one was, and you see this a lot in this passage prior to this verse in verse 15, but one of their main purposes was to help them to withstand, to hold their ground when they were fighting, when they were in battle. And I thought this was really cool what they would do, because obviously if you just put on sandals, how many of you like have ever like gone out in your yard with flip-flops and you're like, you fail? Anybody? I did that twice in the past year. I'm a klutz. But I have these shoes, they're not sandals, but they're really slick on the bottom. And I wish Brandon was here because he'd get a real good kick out of this. I was getting out of his truck at McDonald's, and it was probably a little bit after this time of year because it was ice on the ground. And Brandon's got a big truck. He saw me get out. Next thing he knows, I'm just gone. And I had just, and he even told me, he said, be careful, the ground is icy. And I had just these, you know, just shoes with no sole on the bottom. And I got it, and I just, it was like America's Funniest Home Videos. And I just wiped out completely in the McDonald's parking lot like 5:30 in the morning. And it hurt. And of course, Brandon is like my wife. They just love to laugh at people's calamity. And she knows what I'm talking about. So he just got a good kick out of it. And then just a couple months later, the same winter last year, I was at the Cooey's house. I said, you know, Mark and Gwen Cooey. Luckily, Brandon nor Erica was there. I was by myself, but I was leaving their house, had these brick steps, same stinking shoes. You think I'd have thrown them away the first time. And I stepped down, and I just, it was brick steps. It was like, everything else was melted, you know, could easily, but it was under the shade, there was ice on it, and I just wiped out, and I hit my rump on the corner of that brick, you know, so imagine 250 pounds of man just hitting this brick step with all of your weight on the corner. It did not feel good, and no one was there. I was like, I thought I was going to die. I leaned over the truck, save me, Jesus. I was hurting, and let's just say some of those bruises are still there, and so it was that bad. So obviously, not every shoe is good to withstand your ground, to hold your ground. So what they would do with these shoes, because obviously they're not great, you know, if you're fighting, you want to hold your ground, they would take nails, and they would push them through the tops where the nail would basically hit the ground, and they became first century cleats, if you will. And so they put them in there so that way they could withstand. They could hold their ground. They could be defensive. They wouldn't just fall. They wouldn't just fall down. But they withstand. And as it says there, I mean, just so many times to stand and to withstand against the attacks of the enemy. And in verse 13, having after done all, to stand firm. And that was one point of these shoes, was that they were great for defense. They could dig in. But there's probably a message that could be preached. Probably, and there, I'm sure lots have been, you know, on standing firm in the gospel and knowing the gospel, have an understanding of the gospel, and it allows us to dig in and to be defensive of whatever comes our way because we know the gospel. I believe we've talked a lot about that, especially a few weeks ago as we talked about the belt of the truth. But I think even more important than withstanding. And I think this is probably what Paul has more in mind. As we see in verse 15, it says, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. That it wasn't just to withstand their ground, but the other main purpose of these calgalas that the Roman soldiers had was it allowed them to move. It allowed them to move freely. It allowed them to travel. Because the Roman soldiers, they weren't just hanging around Rome defending the attackers. They were out marching. They were out taking over other cities and other civilizations. And the kingdom was expanding. And they had to go. They had to march miles and miles, maybe hundreds of miles or thousands of miles. And you know, the kingdom just got larger and larger. And the only way that kingdom would expand is if those soldiers would march and the soldiers would go. And they always had to be ready to go. And they had to have these sandals on, had to be ready to march. And I believe that's a little better picture of what Paul is talking about this morning, is not just to dig in with these sandals, but is to march on with these sandals of the gospel, these gospel shoes, if you would like to call it that, this morning. I believe this text is translated better in readiness and going. We actually see that again. We're going to talk a good bit about passage in Romans chapter 10, if you want to stick your finger there. But Paul talks about it in a very clear picture in Romans chapter 10. But Romans 10 is actually inspired by Isaiah. And so if you want to go over to Isaiah, I can't even find Isaiah this morning. Isaiah, Jeremiah, right before Jeremiah. We've been in Isaiah every week because the armor of God is very, very prevalent in Isaiah. It's Isaiah chapter 52. It's really one of the first times we see this picture of shoes. And I asked the kids a while ago if they knew that the Bible talks about shoes and talks about feet. Actually, it talks about it a good bit. And there's a passage in Nahum that's very similar to this. Isaiah 52:7, beautiful passage. It says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." Now, a little bit of historical context and what they meant by that. You know, today, whenever we want to know the outcome of something, you know, particularly we'll talk about war or battles, I mean, we don't have to wait, do we? I mean, it's almost like we even know before the war is over. I mean, CNN or Fox News or whoever is all on top of it. And it's as if news medias were not fast enough now with Twitter blowing up and Facebook blowing up. Something cannot happen without us hearing about it extremely quickly. But back then, especially in the Old Testament, they may have had Twitter in the New Testament, I'm not for sure. But especially in the Old Testament, whenever a war had happened, or a battle had been fought, of course, it's a ways away from the village or the city. You know, the soldiers have marched and they're out there. It's over. Someone has to tell the city that the war is over and who won or who lost. And so that's this picture we get. It says, "How beautiful upon the mountains." And you get this picture. And not that in Louisiana we can really picture mountains, but just imagine, if we'll pretend, you know, what mountains are, that over the mountains comes this runner. You know, he's the guy. I wouldn't have been that guy in the army. You know, they wouldn't say, "Hey, John, go run and tell the people." They said, "No, not you, John. Your brother." "Okay, well, run. And you go tell them of the good news of our victory. Tell them not just our victory." It says there in the end of the verse that is God reigns. It's God's salvation. God has brought our victory. And so they would run and they would tell the city and they would bring this good news of salvation and battle. And it's a picture of the good news of our salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. And guess what word means good news? If you're listening a while ago, you would know. Guess what word means good news? Gospel. That is the definition of gospel. It means literally good news. And so it's not the good news that the American troops have won or some other troop or army has won. It is the good news of Jesus Christ has defeated the enemy. And we've talked about this a good bit, that we're in this spiritual warfare and that we're in these battles of the enemy, and there will be plenty of battles in our life. But the real good news is the war is already over. Usually battles have to be fought before wars can be determined. Our war is over. And if you go to the end of the book, and if you cheat, you know, some of you are, you know, of the type that you watch a movie and you want to know the ending before you watch the movie. Anybody like that? I can't stand that. You know, my dad and I, we watch a movie. He's like, "Tell me the end." Like, "No, I can't do it. It's against my code." "Fine, I'm turning it off." Okay, here's what happens. But I can't stand knowing the end of a movie. But some people like to know the end first. And in this case, we need to know the end. We win. Jesus rolls out and he says, "I am that I am," and it's over. Because Jesus already won the victory, and that is the good news. The war has been won, but the battles have not. And that's why we are suited in this armor that God gives us to fight these battles. The war has been determined, but the battles will continue until Christ comes back. And so we have this good news that Jesus has won, and we're in the middle of this battle in life, and there are people who do not know Jesus Christ, and you can call them the enemy, they're the enemy's camp, and they need us to go, they need us to come to them and say that Jesus has won. You do not have to be enslaved to sin anymore. You do not have to be taken captive to sin anymore, that the war has been won. And that is the good news, is that Jesus is the victor, and we do not have to question that. But unfortunately, many believers today are not bringing the good news. Many of us are not being like that, the messenger over the mountains that bring good news of salvation. Because we are not wearing gospel sandals. I believe we are wearing some different types of shoes. And if you're taking notes this morning, I have three different types of shoes that I believe that we find ourselves in the church wearing more often than we do gospel sandals. That we're not bringing good news and we're not wearing the gospel sandals. Instead, some are wearing combat boots. Some people, you know what combat boots I'm talking about? Now, we don't know combat boots. Some of you have been in the service. I think of Doc Martens. Now, if you can go back with me to the 90s when Doc Martens first became cool. Now, some people still wearing, my foot got too big. Some are still cool. The low-cut Doc Martens, they're okay. They're not that big. I'm thinking like middle school when they first came out and you had those Doc Martens went up to right there. Y'all remember those? And they had like a mile's worth of laces. You know, you tucked your jeans in there. Am I losing some people? There were these big old honking heavy boots, and I don't know why. They were just popular. Everybody loved them. If you're still wearing those, you know, I'm sorry. You can get some slip-on lighter, you know, shoes. But these combat boots, this side of these heavy boots, and they are great. Combat boots are great for digging in. They are great for when you're fighting, and I'm sure they're issued today in the military because the military folks don't have to run across the mountainside to tell them who won. They just texted, hey, we won. But these combat boots, they're great for digging in. They're great for standing your ground, but they're not good for going anywhere. And some of us today wear combat boots, and by this we've talked about a good bit. In essence, we're saying that we're always growing in our faith, but we're never going. We're always growing, but we're never going. We're growing in our knowledge of God. We're growing in our understanding of the gospel. We're reading God's word regularly. We're reading other books regularly, like we're talking about with our stuff. We're growing in our knowledge and our love for God, but we're not doing anything with it. We have these combat boots on. If you were to ask us about the gospel or ask us about the Bible or ask us about our faith, we could tell you, we could defend our faith. We could tell you how much we love Jesus. We could tell you what Jesus has done for us and what He's done for humanity, but we're not moving. We're not going anywhere. And combat boots are great for digging in, but God has called us to do more than just dig in. He's called us to do more than just defend. He's called us to do more than just grow in our knowledge of Him. He's called us to go. And we see this picture with the Roman soldier in these sandals, that he's ready to take the good news of salvation to other people. They say, we have won the battle. The fighting is over. We have won. We wear these combat boots. We're always growing, but we're never going. Another type of shoe I think we wear are high heels. I mean, I wear high heels in here. Hopefully it's just women who own some pairs of high heels, or men. You can talk about your penny loafers. You don't wear penny loafers anymore. Put the penny in there, right? I bet you have a pair of penny loafers, don't you? No? Okay. Yeah. Last week, and you got rid of them. I kid. But high heels, penny loafers, whatever you want to call them, you know, your Sunday morning shoes, you know what they're good for? They're good for looks, right? They're good for fashion. And I said, there's a type of shoe out there that's high heels. They're fashionable, but they're not faithful to what God has called us to do. And I believe there are many people out there, many believers out there, that they are fashionable in their faith. And when it comes to the issue of the faith or the gospel in their life, that they wear it for fashion. We could say they're always showing, but they're never going. They're the ones that on casual Friday, they're wearing their Christian t-shirt, their Tommy Hilfiger, or the, you know, James had his cross jacket on this morning. You know, they like their cross stuff, and that's all their faith is in what they wear and what they show. But the gospel and the good news is far more than anything that we'll ever wear, anything we could ever put on, anything even we could ever just put that casual lip service to. Yes, I'm a believer. Yes, I'm a Christian. You know, it's easy to show it, but it's much different to go. It's easy to show, but it's much different to go for the gospel. It's much different just to go and share the good news. These shoes weren't necessarily the prettiest shoes. And if you look at them, of course, they're cool to us to look at, you know, since we're so disconnected from them. If you look at pictures of these cowgillas, you know, they weren't nothing to look at. They were just had these nails, and it wasn't all probably the same nail. They were just whatever they could find to stick in the bottom of it so they could stand their ground, and whatever they could do to lace them up so they could hold them tight to their feet so they could run. It wasn't about looks. but it was about going for the gospel and going to spread the good news of their victory, but in our case, share the good news of Jesus Christ. And our faith is not always fashionable, but we should always be faithful to the message of Jesus Christ. Because there's going to be lots of times it doesn't look good to stand our ground for the gospel. But many times in our life, it's not favorable to stand up for Jesus. It's not favorable to proclaim the name of Jesus. But if we're to be faithful, if we're to take the gospel to the nations, to our own nation, then we must be faithful. There in the news just this week, there is an account of a very popular evangelistic organization that I would say probably didn't take a strong stand in this battle of faithfulness. That, you know, the election is upon us, and there's a lot riding on the election. And they said, you know, they probably stepped down a little bit from what they were saying, that this is the way to Jesus Christ, and this is not the way to Jesus Christ. And instead of being faithful, instead of standing firm, instead of saying we're going to go and we're going to hold to the truth, did not. But we must be faithful even when it's not fashionable, even when it's not favorable. But it's not about the combat boots. It's not about the high heels. And then there's probably a third category of believers. They're not wearing those two type of shoes. They're wearing slippers. Anybody like your slippers, your house shoes? I mean, the weather is finally cooling down, right? And it's time to bring out those, you know, thick, furry, fuzzy house shoes. You know, in the summer we put on our sandals, our flip-flops. In the winter it's time to get, you know, it's got like little furry balls on them or something. Or, you know, they're like red or Christmas looking. You know, and those are good for around the house. They're good to go check the mail or get the newspaper or, you know, walk the dog, whatever. But you don't wear them to town, do you? I mean, do you? I mean, some of you may, okay? You'll find yourself on the People of Walmart website if you do. But hopefully, you know, we're not wearing our house shoes out into, you know, to the town. We're not going to wear them to church. We're not going to wear them to work. You know, it probably wouldn't go very well with you to wear them to work unless you work in your home. And that's a different story. But these slippers, and I think they represent a faith that is comfortable, but is not very mobile. That it's always easy going, but we're never actually going. That in this type of gospel, that God is at work in my life, and He's doing great things in my life, and I believe in God, and you know, He's just kind of that warm, fuzzy God that I think is preached so often, that He can do all kind of changes in your life. And we feel very comfortable with that. We put those slippers on. You know, we understand it, and we know that He's good, and we know that when pain comes into our life, that God is faithful to be there. We're leaning on Him, but we're not going to tell our neighbors about it. We realize that they have crisis and they have problems. Or we hear about our coworker, they're struggling with stuff, and we're not going to go and tell that same good news of Jesus to them. We're just going to be comfortable and have our slippers on and not go anywhere. But in these gospel sandals that we're called to go and tell the nations of the good news of Jesus Christ, we exchange those sandals for combat boots, for high heels, for slippers. And I'm sure there are many other shoes that we could think of. But we need to put on the sandals, as it says in verse 15, of readiness and take the good news. Be mobile and be ready to go. But the question is, where are we going? Where are we going with the gospel? I mean, hopefully every Sunday we're going to be talking about Jesus. We're going to talk about the gospel and understanding it more. And this is kind of, if you will, almost like a huddle that we gather to worship. We gather to fellowship. We gather to give. But ultimately, as individuals, our call is to go. But the question is, where do we go? And that simple question to our kids while I go, how can we faithfully live out the gospel this week? How can we go to our friends this week? And I believe every person in here, young and old, can go in different contexts. And something James and I, about a year ago, James shared with me kind of a vision he had for missions. And so often we talk about missions and we talk about, you know, those four aspects, if you will. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, hometown and state and nation and the world. And James has done a good job of breaking this down. So I asked him if I could steal it from him this week and sound cool. And he said I could. But I want to give him credit. This is kind of what God has given James his heart, because God has given James a heart for missions and a heart for going with the gospel. And these are seven areas, if you will, of ways and places and avenues that we can go with the gospel. And so if you want to jot these down real quick, here's kind of the ways that we can go with the gospel. Seven areas, if you will. The first one is the core of how can we go? How can we take the good news of salvation, that Jesus Christ is the victor over sin and death, and that salvation is only found in Him? It's to the core people in our life. And this is personal evangelism, if you will. This is us sharing the gospel with the people in our life that God has already put in place in our life. You know, our friends, our family, our coworkers, and we talk about these people all the time. And you say, John, I'm sick of you saying we need to share the gospel with our friends and family and coworkers. Well, here's my question. Have you done it? We say we hear this all the time. But you know what? Have we done it? This week, this month, have you actually taken some aspect of the gospel to a coworker? That's a person that you work with. That's the person when you show up tomorrow to work that you see. Oh, yeah, I've been seeing them for 7 years. Have you ever shared Jesus with them? Have you ever been Jesus to them? You say, well, I'm just not comfortable taking the Bible and going through Romans Road. Well, fine, be Jesus to them. Be this big word, and we'll talk about more in the weeks to come, incarnational, to be Jesus in flesh. Have you been that Jesus to people at your workplace? When they were hurting, did you go and offer comfort? Not the comfort that you can bring, but the comfort that Jesus offers? Have we been Jesus and shared Jesus with people at our workplace? You know, I would imagine that every person in this room, we have family members who are lost, who are dying. And when they die, they will go to a place called hell for eternity. And there's no take-backs, there's no mulligans, there's no do-over. Does this motivate us to go? We come on Sundays and we're challenged by this. Like, man, you know what? I need to be going. And then Monday, it's like we go into a coma. We have a temporary amnesia. And we see those same people that we've been seeing last week and the week before, and we do nothing with it. And it's conversation as usual. It's life as usual. And some of them God has given you great relationships with. I guarantee you this week, you'll have lunch with them once or twice. That you'll meet at the water cooler once or twice. That you'll have a chance to talk about stuff. And I love Duck Dynasty. I was talking to Ryan. They met Jace last night at Starbucks. I wish I was there. I'd be like the drooling dude in the corner. I love those guys. I love that show. And we can talk about it. It's easy for me to talk about Duck Dynasty. It's easy for me to talk about football. Not really football. I don't really watch it that much. But it's easy for some of you to talk about football and ULM winning or Western are losing this weekend or LSU getting ready for the big game next week. We have no problem talking, people. We have a problem talking about the right stuff. It says, blessed are those feet who come over the mountain bringing good news. Moving this up quick. I'm sorry. The first one is core. Those people around us is personal evangelism, this lifestyle witnessing. The second one is community. Not even just the Calhoun community, but a wider community. And some of this is for us as individuals. Some of this is an aspect of missions as a church. We need to be intentionally finding ways that we can serve and we can serve our community. You know, even outside of Calhoun and West Monroe and Monroe, you know, with all kind of ways. If you look at your community, it's not just in your workplace, but you have a wider community. You have wider than just immediate family. You have people out there, a community of family, a community of friends that need to hear the gospel of Jesus. The third one is those close to home. This group would be in like northern Louisiana, maybe even southern Arkansas. You know, that we could go as a church, we could go as people, as family units, to go and share the gospel with even outside of a close community, outside and do some mission. I kind of hate the word mission trips because it just sounds so, okay, I'm going to go do a gospel thing now, and when it's over, I'm done with it. Now I can check that off my one mission trip a year list. But we can go with a wider sense of the gospel and minister and reach out to those who are kind of close to home. And for a lot of folks, it's for families. You know, we need to be looking for ways that we can take our families, our young children, and go and serve. You know, you don't have to go to Nicaragua to serve if you have a 3-year-old. But you know what? You can go to Shreveport and find ways to connect. You can go to other places and serve and to share the gospel. We don't have to go far off. But number four is the countries, the rest of the United States. We need to be engaging as a church and as people in looking for ways in the United States that we can serve and that we can share the gospel. We can take the gospel, because not only are our friends and family need Jesus, not only do those, you know, within 100 miles need Jesus, our whole country, it is evident and apparent, needs Jesus and needs the good news. The fifth one, we'll just kind of just run through these. I want to get to Romans 10 before we have to close. is the considered safe regions. And this is probably where a lot of mission trips find themselves. You know, Erica's been to Bulgaria twice, and I went once, and many of you have gone on international mission trips. You know, that's a safe area. You know, there was no danger for our life. You know, we weren't scared that we were going to get shot for sharing the gospel. And so there are great mission trips that as a church, as people, we need that we can easily engage. We can easily take maybe some older kids, and we can go to Bulgaria, and we can go to Nicaragua, we can go to wherever that is safe. Again, I even haven't talked about safe because we know God's in control. We know God is sovereign, but we need to be taking the gospel. And number five, there's places that's considered safe. Number six, it could be dangerous. These are places that are hard to reach, and safety is not guaranteed. There are many places in the world that are hard to get to, and many people don't go because they're not safe. Many people don't go because their life could be in jeopardy. Many people don't send their children because their children's life could be in jeopardy. They don't want to go because it's hard to get there. And I commend organizations like XMA. They go to the uttermost parts of the earth, you know, even in places that are hard to get to, and sometimes have to go under, you know, different reasons because we're not going to share the gospel because the country won't let us in. But we need to be going, and I think as a people and as a church, we need to be looking for ways that we can share the gospel even when it's not safe. They may let you in, but you don't know what's going to happen when you get there. It's going to be hard to get to, maybe very expensive to get to. And the seventh one is this, and James called it the closed off, the unknown. There are parts of the world that there is no way in the world that it's just almost impossible to get to these areas. It may be the African bush. It may be some communistic country. They're not letting anybody in. But here's the thing. Even if the government doesn't allow people, even if it's almost impossible to get in, people still need to hear the gospel. And this is hard to even preach and to talk about because how many of us want to go risk our lives and to go in and trek into 50 or 100 miles of jungle to go and to share the gospel with people who will probably kill us? And we all have heard stories, you know, you've seen the movie The End of the Spear, and they've gone and, you know, the first few people just died and sacrificed their lives. But ultimately what happened was is that an entire village of people came to Christ. Because people were willing to put their life and their comfort and their safety and their families on the line for the gospel. And how beautiful were their feet who went and who shared the good news. And there may be someone in this room, it may be a 7-year-old or a 6-year-old in here that God is raising up to go and take the gospel to the hard parts of the world. And I've shared this story before, but I love the story of Richard Ross. He was an 18-year-old boy. He'd been praying his whole life that God, would you just call him out to go to missions into a difficult place. And his son finally became of age. He was 17 or 18 years old. And he was scared to approach his dad. Dad, here's a mission trip. It's in the southern part of Africa. It's a very difficult place. I could get shot at. You know, the danger could happen. I know you don't want me to go and it's expensive, but I feel God calling me to go. And Richard Ross had been praying for the son's whole life. He'd been saving up for the son's whole life. And when his son came and said, God has given me an opportunity and he's given me a passion, Richard said, I've got the money and I've been praying. I'm ready to let you go regardless of what happens because God has given you a call to share the gospel. And as parents, our primary concern for our children is not that they get into great colleges. It's not that they find great spouses. It's not that they find great careers. But we should be praying. We should be praying for ourselves that we can let our kids go for the gospel. And as they grow up and as they mature, that they mature in their faith. And when they're 17, 18, and 20 years old, they're coming to you and say, Dad, Mom, I'm ready to go. And they said, Dad, I saw you go. Mom, I saw you go. And that has challenged me. How beautiful are the feet of those who take good news. And let's go to Romans chapter 10. To kind of wrap all this up. And this should motivate, this should move us to go. Romans 10:13. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Who can be saved? Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. Verse 14. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. In church this morning, there are just countless numbers of people in all those seven different areas that are close to us and that are far off from us who need and must hear the gospel. It's not our job to make them respond. It's not our job for them to be saved, to be baptized, to become great disciples. It's just our job to share with them the good news. And so this week, the same question that I asked the kids, what are you going to do about it? What are we going to do about it this week? Are we going to continue just talking about stuff that doesn't matter this side of heaven and hell? Are we going to start engaging our friends, our family, our co-workers with the gospel? And I'll close with this. In Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission, as we call it, when Jesus sends his people out. I wish we had time just to camp on this for a while. We may at some point, and who knows, we may have even talked about this before. But Matthew 28, verse 19, we're all familiar with it. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. And behold, I am with you always unto the end of the age. And Jesus clearly says, his last command to his people is to go. But what's very interesting about that word is that it doesn't mean just to go to these places that are out there, but a better translation is as you go. And so even this week, as we go, I pray that God calls many in this room to go to crazy places on this planet. I pray that he calls us to go to the bush and to the jungle and to Cincinnati and to wherever. I mean, there's numerous places. But every one of us this week, as we go, you will be going somewhere this week. So as we go this week, let us make disciples of all the nations. Let us take the good news. And may our feet in this room be considered beautiful because we are taking the news of salvation to those who need it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for just an opportunity to be challenged by your word. And God, this is a challenge for me, Lord. That God, I don't just share your gospel on Sunday morning, God, but as I go throughout the week, may you use me, Lord, to take the good news to those who need it. This week, Lord, there are so many different walks represented in here, Father. And you know every one of them. You know every life that is intersected by people in this room. Probably thousands of people this week will be touched by the 50 people that's in here. And Lord, we don't really know what to do, but we just know what we need to do. So would you help us this week as we go to be bearers of the good news? Would you help us to put on the gospel sandals this week? And if we've been wearing the combat boots or the high heels or the slippers, may we take those off, Lord, and put on sandals to carry the gospel. And we see people respond to that gospel because of the work of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, regardless of what we've done this week, may there be no feeling of guilt this morning of what we have or have not done. But may we just be motivated to go because of your Son, Jesus. Lord, as we just respond in this next song, Father, even as we give faithfully, Lord, every week, I just pray that you would use the tithes and the offerings of this church, Father, to use, Lord, those resources to help us as a people to go and to support financially missionaries and all the things you've allowed us to do as a church. So everything we do, may it be about going. We respond to you in these next few moments.